Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled. That is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know him and grow up in him and want to be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about foundations. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Verse 47, "Whosoever therefore cometh to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like." Verse 48, "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 49, "And when he that heareth and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The word foundation in Strong's is number 2310. It comes from another word meaning something put down. That is a substruction of a building, or literally or figuratively, a foundation. Those without a spiritual foundation are living dangerously and are not ready for what is coming. Now is the time to get a foundation based on hearing and obeying the teachings of Jesus before time runs out. Jesus explained it was not enough just to call Jesus Lord. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "Wherefore then, we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." Verse 2. "And sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Verse 3. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions for yourselves, know that we are appointed thereunto." This message is for those who want to have a firm spiritual foundation, endure afflictions, not be overcome, and be doers of the word, not just hearers only. James said in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23. "And if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Verse 24. "For he beholdeth himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." Verse 25. "But those who look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Foolish carnal Christians live as they were before being born again, making decisions with their mind. They are blind to the fact that the perfect law of liberty is not a license to do whatever they want. They even ignore conviction, to do what they think is justified and never learn how to do anything directed by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh is an operating system left over after sin separated man from God, that still allows man to gain knowledge and use his own limited understanding to make decisions without God. This old foundation has to be removed, as the devil encourages man to think for himself and do whatever appeals to the flesh. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. This is Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Submitting to God consistently, doing his perfect will, renews your mind. If you look at knowledge or revelation and start thinking or imagining like Eve, you will serve that knowledge instead. Seeking knowledge through your carnal nature stops your mind being renewed. Make a habit of writing things down that God shows you and ask God when you can talk more about conviction and the revelation he gives you. Make time to hear God on a subject if you want to be a doer of the word. Seek him before you seek knowledge, so that you do not lose your first love and get puffed up in pride. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Imaginations are always wrong. You should also take captive any thoughts telling you to do anything that is contrary to the rightly revealed word of truth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Through sin, mankind has a habit of trusting in the limited knowledge of good and evil they have. Man's limited knowledge has even been corrupted still further by the devil. But by faith now, you have an alternative based on God's grace and mercy to hear and obey God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you come to God, you need to believe he is God and not corrupt. God's grace and mercy on Cain after he killed Abel might have inspired Enoch to seek God and to learn how to please him by faith. You can do the same in a shorter amount of time, starting with conviction and not guess at what God wants. Servants who are following Christ love the truth. Making decisions based on your own reasoning leads to more sin. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and it become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. At salvation, you should have been convinced that the source of all the misery and shame in your life came from listening to your own opinions and ideas. Those born again who still follow their own plans have to ignore conviction and quench the Holy Spirit to do their own will. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 to 19. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, and warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. This is a checklist from Paul telling the church what to do when they see evil increasing and you have to make a stand. The church that is not doing the will of God is weak spiritually and may need your help. Others may get in the flesh, but you must consistently do what is right and not get angry. In the Amplified Bible, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 says, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law. Those who have a corrupt foundation, number one, do not learn from their mistakes and need the forgiveness of God again and again over the same basic issues. Number two, they cannot hear what God is saying without having an opinion about what is right or righteous and get angry. Number three, do not have the ability to dialogue with God. Number four, rely on their own understanding for daily issues rather than the grieving and correction of the Spirit. Number five, avoid strong messages that require obedience and endurance. Those who are born again, unwilling to have their senses exercised through conviction, do not grow spiritually. Messages you learn without conviction using the natural system of learning will hinder you later. The wrong foundation is seen in those who are, number one, judging, criticizing, condemning, and backbiting others. Number two, debating, quarreling, and gossiping. Number three, having a lack of grace and mercy. Number four, getting easily frustrated and angry. Number five, learning but not coming to the knowledge of the truth. Number six, having unpleasant habits based on the lust of the flesh. Number seven, double-minded and very analytical. Number eight, concerned always about temporal things or boasting. Number nine, confident in their own abilities. The devil's strategy only succeeds because God's people still have a confidence in the flesh to study and analyze everything using their carnal minds. James said in James chapter 3, verses 10 to 18, I'm reading. This is James chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Verse 11. does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Verse 13, who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom descending not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Look at your fruit. Confusion is not from God. Confusion comes from someone who's mixing God's plans with their own. If you are born again, deny yourself daily and get godly wisdom that is devil-free by taking up your cross. Carnal Christians who cannot hear or discern the perfect will of God are trapped. They quickly give up and justify making the decisions themselves. God is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. The fruit in those with the right foundation doing the will of God is the peace of God. They can bring peace in situations where others can bring only confusion and strife. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. This is Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. And those who are in right standing with God, doing the will of God, are abiding in the kingdom of God. And their resources come from listening and obeying. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading Isaiah, chapter 26, starting in verse 1. And in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Those obeying the truth and following Christ are joyful. They are not following some man-made agenda, doing dead works and consumed by earthly politics. Your foundation should be built on hearing his voice and keeping your mind fixed on what the Lord is saying. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. This is the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul was living a chastened life on the narrow way. Through conviction and repentance, Paul had removed dead works of his own. He did not rely on the knowledge of right and wrong to question God's decisions in his own life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10, I'm reading all the way to verse 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have yet not many fathers, but in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul had taught Timothy how to do everything in the Spirit, abiding in Christ. Paul was not teaching church doctrines, but the foundation of hearing and obeying Christ. Paul also said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the belief that you're automatically in Christ simply because you are born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. I travel with Joseph Hedgecock and completely submitted to his authority. The training I received was a lifeline. I had no reason to distrust the messenger God sent. I believed with Joseph's help I could not be worse than what I had become in spiritualized flesh. I saw the difference in terms of the fruit of repentance in my own life after a few trips with Joseph Hedgecock, and so did my wife. Those serving the flesh find excuses for not doing what they are taught. I was not looking for any excuse, as I had become a hypocrite, deceiving myself through my own devices. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from some other words, which means unapproved, that is rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally. A castaway, rejected, a reprobate. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 2, Joseph Hedgecott writes, I came to the conclusion that if my own life did not line up with the Bible, then there was no excuses for it. There was only reasons, which I began to search the scriptures for those reasons, while being led by the Holy Spirit. I began to make progress. I discovered that the reasons could be identified and removed through repentance until there was no more reasons. As this process continued, I began to change. All things began to pass away and all things became new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. My walk with God began to align with the rightly divided word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And as I became more comfortable with this process, I asked God to show me my greatest hindrances first. And as I processed these hindrances through repentance, my growth dramatically increased. You do not have to keep using the flesh if you are born again. You have been given a Christ nature in you, so you can discard and bury the old nature. If you're in the flesh, when Jesus appears, you'll be left behind. Through the flesh, you will serve sin and the devil. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 24. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The flesh has no purpose for those following Christ, and it's no longer required. Those who keep the flesh alive still intend to consult their own will later. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knows his people. He knows those who have paid a price for their obedience. He knows what they did and did not do under pressure. If he required someone else to repent, then he is not going to excuse you doing the same, as he would have to apologize to someone else who made the same mistake. Those who use the name of Christ should keep well away from iniquity. We read in the book of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, I'm reading verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Noah Webster in 1828 defined iniquity as, number one, injustice, unrighteousness, a deviation from rectitude. Number two, want of rectitude in principle as a malicious prosecution originating in the iniquity of the author. Number three, a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime, wickedness, any act of injustice. Number four, a lack of holiness or signs of depravity. God is not going to change just because the world keeps sinning and standards are slipping. The grace of God in these last days is increasing for those who have a heart after God, walking in the light they have. The boundary of iniquity is easily identified with the grieving of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, if you're born again. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You should be working out your salvation in fear and trembling, especially when you see the grace running out. You need to replace your carnal foundation or strengthen your weak spiritual foundation before Jesus comes. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You can only live in the Spirit if you have accepted and maintained Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. In some areas of your life, you will just be able to abide in the Spirit. In other areas where you hear clearly and obey, you'll be able to walk in the Spirit depending on the depth of your spiritual foundation. James said in James chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. To walk in the Spirit, you have to be quicker to listen and slow to speak. If your mind is renewed, then you'll not get angry. Being busy and doing as much as you possibly can in a short amount of time is not helpful if you cannot hear God that fast. Go slower if necessary, as the mind needs to be still to hear God at the speed at which you need to make decisions. In my training, I was told accuracy comes before speed. We read in the Psalms 46, verses 8 to 11. This is in the Psalms, chapter 46. I'm starting in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and he cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I suggest you get up early before your day starts and listen to God. Make sure you are in the Spirit and seek Him and make changes based on whatever God is showing you. Keep a notebook. The knowledge of God will include repentance if you want ears to hear what you need to know now. The devil can easily control those who are separated from God through sin. When the darkness increases, it separates those who trust in Him from those who are deceiving themselves with just natural discernment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading verses 1 to 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. All 10 were virgins in this parable, but half of them were foolish. All of them trimmed their lamps when Jesus appeared, but the foolish ones did not keep their lamps filled while they waited for the bridegroom. There is a price for following Jesus. The foolish ones had not paid that price and had no time to buy oil. They believed lies that they were in Christ when the fruit showed they were not. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. The church is waking up to the prophecies and signs of Jesus' coming being fulfilled, but it's not waking up to righteousness in Christ. Now is the time to look up and get ready for his appearing and be heavenly minded. Jesus is coming for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, not for those who are born again and rely on just being cleansed at the last minute from all unrighteousness by confessing their sins. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those with godly wisdom learn through repentance how to stay filled with the Spirit by doing the will of God. Those who are not filled with the Holy Spirit have a confidence in the flesh. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I saw three areas in my personal life. Number one, business. Number two, home. And number three, ministry. This was a divine order for me. I first learned to hear and obey God in business. There was some order at work. More important decisions were being made by my superiors, giving me more time to hear God in smaller matters that were delegated to me. Once I learned to walk in the Spirit in one area, I kept going to the next area. As I was promoted in work at each level of greater responsibility, I also learned to hear and obey God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 1 on spiritual maturity, on page 9, Joseph Edgecott writes, I consistently obey Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That was Paul's focus, and that was my focus. If you want to become spiritually mature, it must be your focus. My flesh weakened to the point that it no longer had the power to stop me from obeying the Lord. It did not slow me down. Then finally, it had no place in me. I was able to walk in kingdom principles and grow up in the Lord. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I spend very little time in the flesh. If I make a mistake, I repent quickly. I ask the Lord to show me how Satan and my flesh were able to lead me astray. I ask for divine revelation about how to keep from making that mistake again. I do not want my flesh to have any power over me, so I maintain the attitude that my flesh is the enemy. Carnal Christians do not believe the flesh is their enemy. They keep it alive so that they can still consult their own will. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Teaching in the church has been corrupted with lies through people in leadership who secretly want to do what they want when they want and call Jesus Lord. Most believe that you can still be saved without following Christ on the narrow way. Those ashamed of Jesus' teaching believe his ways are too hard or unnecessary. The truth is that if you're not following Christ, you're following the devil. There's no third option. If you do not repent of following the devil, you will end up being a castaway. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6. Whoever abides in him sins not. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Those abiding in Christ do not sin. You first have to get in the flesh before you can sin. Those serving sin do not know Jesus. The one who is in right standing with God is the one who listens and does the right thing. The devil cannot make you sin. You have to listen to the devil to actively commit an obvious sin that you know is wrong, just for the sake of your flesh. Christ came to give you a choice and proved that he did not sin or serve the devil and overcame the cross by asking God everything. You were given a new nature, so that you could grow up spiritually and enjoy the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. God's grace is there for you now to learn a new way of life where you make no provision for the flesh before Jesus comes. Led by the Spirit, you should fulfill the law easily. As you work out your salvation in all areas, look for anything that hinders your ability to hear God clearly. You may not have appreciated God's plan to get you ready through conviction, and let your opinions get in the way. You cannot change yourself, but you can respond to His commands and instructions by grace through faith. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 60 to 66. This is John's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Verse 62. "What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Verse 64. "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Verse 65. "And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Verse 66. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Getting Started, on pages 21 and 22, Joseph Edgecott writes, "Many of God's children never deal with his lordship for the same reason many stopped following Jesus when he was on the earth. Jesus' preaching did not make sense to their carnal minds, and they did not want to follow him because it seemed too hard." John 6, 60-66. But the disciples chose to trust and obey, and they became the heroes of faith. So I ask you, what will you do? If you don't kill the flesh, you're denying Christ his rightful place in your life. To kill the flesh, you must move into Christ by denying yourself and taking up your cross and go through some chastening. This is the part where the wrong foundation in you is removed. Every lesson you learn through conviction will help you walk in the Spirit later. Those who are good at repentance have closed doors to the devil and are wearing the armor of light they gained. If you are still seeking the things in this world, you will not believe the flesh is your enemy. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Verse 17. "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." In the book The Guilty Prison, revised edition, in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Edgecott writes, "The root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh, or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests, but instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Churches that teach that the devil is the enemy afterwards take over the lordship to get what they want and thereby give a foothold to the devil. The flesh makes its demands based on unbelief. You are supposed to kill the flesh when it is screaming and just about to die. Many believe lies that God is pleased with dead works just because they will not deal with their own flesh. People do not come to truth only because they want to believe lies that justify meeting their own personal comforts. You must rely on the work of the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 13. This is John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit is working with the written word and uses everything to teach and guide you into all truth. You should have experienced the work of the Holy Spirit the moment you agreed to follow Christ. Ask God questions when you see the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Wake up to righteousness using the gift of eternal life. This promise is available to all those born again following Christ. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verses 2 and 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 2. As thou hast given him power of all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There is now no excuse not to get to know God. God is love, and the best decision is to make Jesus Lord of your life. You are responsible for keeping your flesh dead. Jesus, as the literal, functional Lord of your life, will make all the right decisions. There is no reason not to trust him. Jesus did not fail to serve the living God or make any mistakes in his calling. He did everything out of love. He was just like you in his humanity. You can now enter into the rest. You have to strive, especially at the beginning, not to do anything out of the carnal nature. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 13. This is Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading verse 9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Getting Started, on pages 19 and 20, Joseph Hedgecott writes, each time you are convicted, a hindrance to your spiritual walk and maturity has been identified. Each one is a reason why you do not stay in the Spirit consistently. Conviction is alarmed to warn you that it's time to deal with a specific issue. Instead of viewing this as a negative experience from a fleshly point of view, look at it from God's perspective. He convicts you so that you can repent and remove another sin that hinders you from walking closely with him. He does this because he loves you so much and does not want anything to separate you from fellowship with him. Conviction is a blessing. Every time you do something from the flesh, you should have experienced a warning. The conviction of the Spirit is a warning that the devil is trying to get control, and maybe like a two-edged sword, exposing the need for a foundational change. Nothing is hidden from God. He is still watching over you as his child. And those who do not trust God do dead works from their carnal nature instead, to meet their personal needs. With God's grace, strive to enter the rest by hearing God and doing his perfect will. Paul continued in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. This is Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is the high priest of those with a heart after God, trying to please God, but not those making excuses for sin. It's your own unbelief that stops you from listening and repenting of lies you believed earlier when you were serving your flesh. Have no doubts. The flesh will never submit to God. You must deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You can learn through the grace of God how the Lord Jesus did everything without sinning. The Holy Spirit is there to help you obey perfectly and get a good foundation. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1, On Getting Started, on page 21, Joseph Hedgecott writes, do not get discouraged when God begins to expose multiple sins in your life. Before God can build the eternal things he wants in your life, he must first tear down the carnal temporal things you have built. For a short season, it may look like you are going the wrong direction. Once the old is mostly cleared away in different areas of your life, the new will come very quickly, and it will become much easier. After my breaking, I had to make a fresh start. While the foundations were built in my life, it helped to have a vision of what God was doing in me. I was able to rejoice in faith, believing that my foundation was being put in place and that he would raise me up when my repentance and dead works was complete. During this period, I started asking God the small things and experienced his care personally. I had to deny myself daily and focus on killing the flesh. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Do not be satisfied with works that make sense to your mind. Through the flesh, the devil will tempt you away from doing something eternal instead that will bring glory to God. He knows what needs to be removed so that you can trust him with all your heart and make the way for him to direct your life clearly. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Through Jesus' death, the Father restored excellent communication with those who have a heart after God, to become heroes of faith. Those who just confess their sins now and again do not have that dialogue and are missing out. They have listened to lies that Christianity is just another religion where you can do what you want when you want. This sort of gospel appeals to the flesh. Jesus said in John 3:16, this is John's gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many Christians believe that when they die, they will live forever in heaven, but only have a natural foundation because they're carnal. They do not want to hear that believing means to trust in, cling to, and rely on God for everything. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In God's kingdom, you do not need to think about tomorrow, as this will hinder you from knowing what you need to know now. The minds of those buried with Christ are not anxious, so that the Spirit can put his divine thoughts there by his grace. God can easily show you something that you need to do now to be ready for tomorrow. In this way, you can experience his care and love for you as well. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word mind in Strong's is number 3563, probably from the base of another word, means the intellect, that is mind, divine or human, in thought, feeling or will, by implication meaning mind or understanding. The most foolish thing you will ever see is someone giving God instructions on how to do anything. Paul had the same mind as Christ described in the Gospel of John, because he had the same humility as Christ. Jesus said in John 5:30, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Paul did not know exactly what was in God's mind. However, he had put on Christ by making Jesus Lord of his life. He was building a foundation of not doing anything without the authorization of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. Verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. When Jesus is your Lord, you are humble, and you don't need to see clearly. You believe God sees clearly for you, so all you need to do is follow. Those with a solid foundation have removed what they were relying on instead of God through repentance. You only need three things for a godly life in Christ Jesus. Number one, faith for a life on the narrow way based on his precious promises. Number two, hope of eternal salvation with heavenly glory based on chastening, conviction, and the correction of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, charity, and the ability to get more love in abundance by hearing and obeying His commands. For more information on sowing and reaping the agape love of God through His commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hitchcock. In the Amplified Bible, John 5:30 says, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get His orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision, and my judgment is right, just, or righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Spiritual Maturity, on page 8, Joseph Hitchcock writes, this scripture is the foundation for living a spiritually mature life. When you seek the Father's will rather than your own, you cannot keep from being spiritual. You do not consult your will or personal preferences. The mind of Christ is available in the package of salvation, and not a gift only for a few special men and women of God. You need the mind of Christ to abide and follow Christ. When you put on Christ, you put on His mind too. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is Romans chapter 13. I'm reading verse 11. And that knowing the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The church at the center of the Roman Empire was not growing spiritually with the right foundation and had to wake up. A weak foundation cannot handle temptation and will stop hearing the truth and compromise. Very few understand how Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave without ever sinning, because they do not have a spiritual foundation. Jesus was tempted in every way like us and never used His divine nature. He acknowledged God in everything He did in order to overcome, and you can do the same. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. This is in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Avoid carrying any weights. The only weight you should be carrying is the burden to do what He says to do next. He is your Heavenly Father if you are born again. Anything you are carrying will slow you down or hinder you from finishing the race set before you. Do not help God. If you know Jesus loves you, then you will not question why God is allowing anything to happen. keep your mind still, ask God more questions, and seek what you need to do now. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on spiritual maturity, in Chapter 4, on A More Excellent Way, on page 46, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "In these last days, God is focusing on going back to the root of why his people are missing what he has for them. If you mature spiritually to a certain point, but cannot go further, you are either ignorant of what comes next, or you don't have the foundation you need to do what comes next. Most believers are ignorant of the requirements to become spiritual. They do not know what is available in the spiritual realm. Even if they are exposed to the truth, they do not have the right foundation to receive and walk in it. They continuously fail because they try to build a spiritual building on a natural foundation. In a secular job or in an education, those who trained you require you to come to work or class every day. Their job was to prepare you for the future. I'm sure they did not ask your opinion about what you needed to learn. You must reject any teaching or foundation that allows you to still have the option to do what you think is right. A basic foundation is not without repentance from dead works and trusting God with all your heart." Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Getting Started, on page 21, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "When I first began to know the Lord, I made the decision to trust him completely with every area of my life. I decided to trust God 100% for an entire year. I knew that in that amount of time, I could compare the fruit of him being Lord to the fruit when I had been Lord. When I saw the good fruit his lordship produced long before the year ended, I gave him my complete trust forever. A foundation based on faith and his grace is sufficient. The devil did not like what God planned through grace. Even the devil's pride and fall is no match for the grace of God. The devil cannot make you sin. Those born again that walk by faith on the narrow way can overcome by being strong in the grace." Peter was speaking to the young converts in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Verse 11, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The word devour in Strong's is number 2666. It comes from some other words which means to drink down, that is to gulp entire, literally or figuratively, to devour, drown, or swallow up. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. The devil cannot devour those who resist steadfastly in the faith. You must refuse to do any dead works out of fear or anything to meet your own personal needs from the carnal nature. Going back to the flesh destroys the foundation God is trying to build in you. Doing dead works again puts down a fresh root for the flesh. From being steadfast in the faith, you will, number one, become complete and remove any fear of suffering. Number two, be more established in your faith and feel protected. Number three, be strengthened through resisting the flesh. Number four, be more settled in how the Lordship of Christ functions. If you make any mistake, you can get to the root of sin through godly sorrow and conviction with deep repentance, using the grace of God. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Those overcoming the devil on the earth are confessing their sin and learning from their mistakes. They're not afraid to tell the truth and give their testimony. Those conformed to this world that love their own lives get overcome. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. He will faithfully direct you because Jesus cannot deny himself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Through the witness of the Spirit, any child of God can come to know what God wants them to know now. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You do not need the flesh anymore. It will hinder your learning. You cannot build anything on it. Do not compare yourself to anyone else or the quality of life of others on this earth. The earth is passing away. Faith helps you live without the things that this world says you cannot live without. Make sure you have no opinion and accept God's choices for your life now. The Spirit is there to help us pray the right things that are the best for everyone. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 27 and 28. This is the book of Romans, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work to the good if Jesus is your first love. You can easily pray for anyone else's best because your outcome is now guaranteed. A more challenging situation for you to endure can only lead to more eternal gain. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 34 to 39, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was living in the kingdom of God on the narrow way. He did not care about his life. The difficulties that he went through deepened his foundation even more. At a time when the church was being overcome, Paul said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul had to remind Timothy he was actually a Jew and not promoting a Gentile-based religion. He had a lot of trouble with the Jews who got offended at him preaching the cross. At the same time, the Gentiles were coming to repentance almost immediately after hearing the good news of the kingdom. The Gentiles were awake and ready to do the perfect will of God by the Spirit now, so that they could be saved and rule and reign with Christ. Paul was personally prepared to endure anything for the sake of those with a heart after God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Jesus' appearing will take place as soon as the last few Gentiles enter the kingdom of God. At his appearing, Jesus is getting married to the bride who has made herself ready. Those left behind on the earth while the wedding feast is going on will include all those who are born again, who listen to the flesh, and those not born again and cold towards Jesus. Paul continued in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 11. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word charging is number 1263. It comes from some other words which means to attest or protest earnestly, or by implication, hortatively. To charge, testify unto, or witness. Paul knew there was power in the words of the gospel, as this was bringing transformation everywhere. He did not want anyone diffusing the conviction with mere intellectual arguments and stop someone who had ears to hear coming to repentance. Paul was asking Timothy to get God's people to attest the following statements. Listen carefully. Number one, those who are baptized and hid with Christ enjoy the abundant life God planned for them, and the rest are serving the devil. Number two, those who actually suffer for living a godly life in Christ Jesus get the privilege of ruling and reigning with Christ. Number three, those who deny Jesus as Lord of their lives now, he will also deny them entrance into the kingdom of God as is appearing. Number four, God is faithful to his word, and if you are unfaithful, there is still a chance to be saved, but only by fire at the end. Paul shared these sayings at a time when many were falling asleep spiritually. Those four faithful sayings may challenge what you already believe. Your personal foundation includes doctrines that you have accepted and processed with your own mind without testing them. Foolish, carnal Christians still tried to use their minds coming to truth. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 9 and 10, Joseph Hitchcock writes, many of you who will read this book series, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, are familiar with Servants of the Lord Ministries. You're acquainted with the teachings I have shared about walking with God, living in the Spirit, and developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know that having a personal relationship with God is the foundation for all his provisions. However, there is a vast difference between getting to know God and being one who is spiritually mature. Developing the necessary foundations for spiritual maturity requires a much deeper work of God in your life. The books in this series will include teachings that are beneficial to believers who are young in the Lord, as well as those who have walked with God for years. These books will include key foundational stones of truth every Christian needs. Foundational stones are basic, essential truths you believe and obey to the point that they become part of your spiritual groundwork. If these foundational stones are not laid properly and built on properly, spiritual maturity will not be produced. Before we go on, I have the following questions for you. Number one, have the necessary foundation stones of truth actually been set in place in your spirit? That is, has your character changed? Number two, does the fruit of your life prove they are firmly set in place? Number three, are you still inconsistent spiritually? Number four, do you continue to struggle with your flesh, especially when you are under pressure? Number five, are you growing at the pace you know you should be? Number six, have you been faithful to build additional truths on top of the foundational truths that you have been taught? Number seven, is Jesus consistently the literal functional Lord of your life? The following comments might help you to answer these questions. Number one, your life will only be changing if you are repenting based on the rightly revealed word of truth. Conviction is God's invitation to seek God for more truth and come to repentance. Number two, the fruit of the Spirit comes from steadfastly abiding in the vine that does not disappear in a period of difficulty. Number three, your foundations are only as deep as you are consistent. A period of grace may give you a vision of what is possible, but you still need to maintain the Lordship of Jesus. Number four, the flesh is only still alive in an area where you allowed it to live, trying to serve two masters because you are double-minded. Number 5, your growth should be exponential. Slow at the start, but like a rocket leaving the Earth's atmosphere, it accelerates. You can reach a place where the flesh and the world has no influence on you anymore when you reach the joy of serving Him. Number 6, additional truths will only be added in areas where there is no unbelief. In other areas where additional truths are absent, you will have a confidence in the flesh instead. Number 7, if you have made Him Lord, use conviction to establish the boundaries God has set for you and be faithful. Other forms of communication develop to allow you to live and enjoy His kingdom here now. The devil wants to stop you from growing up spiritually. To do this, he needs to maintain his access through the flesh. You can recognize the devil's access in terms of distractions, getting you to do things in a hurry when you need more time. The devil also uses ways that seem right. Pray for a covering on your home every morning and make sure you're in the Spirit. Paul had been building wisely, and despite some fiery trials, his foundation was still standing. Paul believed that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He believed that Jesus did not use his divine nature to do anything. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus in his risen form, and Jesus had mercy on Paul, who was persecuting the saints of God openly. That did not mean the judgment was cancelled, but it was delayed to give people more time to repent and save themselves by entering the kingdom of God now. Those buried with Christ have the mind of Christ and do not resurrect the flesh by consulting their own will. Baptism in Christ is death to the old nature. To do the will of God, you get access by grace to the knowledge God provides daily by faith. Most are hanging on to common sense and logic just in case things do not work out smoothly. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Today there's a lot of preaching and teaching that does not believe Jesus actually came in the flesh, and that He had to ask God everything. Leaders mock the idea of asking God the small things and frequently make decisions themselves without asking God. Many believe a lie that Jesus had authority in Himself to do whatever He wanted to do Himself and that He consulted His own will. This belief is a false Antichrist spirit and you must reject it. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works. where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way, the broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad way. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today, I've shared with you a message about foundations. By now, you should realize that maybe your foundations are not correct. You've believed lies. And it is a blessing if you have realized, listening to this message, that you are still doing dead works. You're still believing lies. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Once you realize that God has shown you, make a note of those things and spend some quality time with Him. Seek where this started. Let Him show you so that He can remove that foundation at the very root. He will show you where you opened the door, what desire or lust or desire you had to fulfill some needs that you think He could not supply. And pour your heart out to God. He loves you and He's more than able to supply those needs. I pray that through this message, a fresh and solid and deeper foundation will be built in your life. Father in heaven, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message that Satan will not be able to stop them coming to repentance, that your Spirit will guard the seed that's been sown in their lives jealously, and that the word, the seed that's been sown, will go deep in their spirits and they will nourish it and through it come to repentance in Jesus' precious name. God bless you. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's messages through this video, either written out or via a link on our website. Our contact details will follow, and we would love to hear any testimony of repentance and change. God bless you, and thank you for listening.